This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels all over the world. You can now listen to our weekly podcasts every Friday from 5 p.m. by subscribing on the website refereesworld.co.uk or by searching whoever provides your podcasts, like Apple or Spotify or even Google. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee with Somerset FA, and this is PGMOL Observer and South West Pool Observer Coordinator and my mentor, Richard Mellon.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Yeah, very well. And here we are on another Zoom call. Rich, I can see, because you've got your camera on this time, you're luxuriating in your nice, posh leather settee with this wonderful surroundings that you live in. And we're going to carry on talking to our guest, who was in our previous episode, Andy Garrett, who is relaxing, residing. It looks like you're in your bedroom, Andy. Is the missus kicked upstairs, is she?
the reason for that, Darren, is I've got a mad dog downstairs who will jump in all over the place and will be barking if she says she has to be with me all the time. So luckily, my wife, Bernie's looking after her downstairs at the moment and keeping under leash.
So you get a little bit of peace. And just to give you a little bit of sense of day once again, it's Saturday, it's about 12:15, and we're coming to the end of January into the early part of February 2021. So as I've already mentioned, Andy Garrett is our special guest. Rich, over to you.
Yeah, we finished on a good place last time where you asked a couple of questions about where Andy enjoyed going to. I think it's good to say now, or right to say, Andy, give us a few firsts. Everybody as a referee, every match official has firsts. Can you remember many of your firsts?
I remember most of the lining, the actual refereeing. I don't remember much about, but on the line, yeah, I do. I remember one of the first. My first football league game was August 97, Macclesfield Town, who are no longer here, against Torquay United. So something I found out from the podcast last week, that Lee Probert's first football league game involved Torquay, I believe. So something else we didn't know we got in common. But Macclesfield against Torquay, August 97. And World Cup referee Jack Taylor was at the game as well. As the Football League ambassador. So, you know, when you're aspiring to be a referee, you see these people, and Jack Taylor was a guy who gave the penalty in the 1974 World Cup final without Germany even touching the ball. He was there at the game, and I just thought, you know, I've made it straight away. But obviously, you know, first game, he just heads in the clouds. You know, went along swimmingly, and the thing I remember about that was Macclesfield's ground. Had a changing room, the old changing room. They had a set of stairs, concrete stairs, coming down. So you had to bend down every time you actually got changed. First time I'd been there, referee was a guy called Billy Burns, and the other linesman was a guy called Phil Prosser. And the number of times I remember that day, number of times that we actually hit our heads on the concrete. Concrete thing when we get into the train, when you know, we went home and stuff. And that was my baptism into the Football League. It was quite good, you know. So that was brilliant. It was Macclesfield's first game in the Football League as well after they got promoted. So it was an absolutely brilliant day. So that was my first Football League game, and my first Premier League game was quite ironic as well, because it was at Sheffield Wednesday against Derby. And if you look at those two teams now where they are, you wouldn't believe it. And it was the first year that the Premier League introduced travelling from hotels to the ground. So we met in a hotel just on the outskirts of Sheffield, not far away from the Hillsborough, probably about 10, 15 minutes away. But the thing I remember, it was a Wednesday night game, and Mike Reid was refereeing, and Scott Matheson was fourth man, and my good friend Dave Bryan was on the other line, who'd been a Premier League linesman for a couple of three seasons. But the thing I remember about it before the game was that the fire alarm went off three times before we actually, we met up 4 hours before, and the fire alarm went off three times in an hour before the game. And I just thought, you know what, we're never going to get to this ground. My first Premier game, I'm never going to get there. So that was quite good, remembrance and the your first game ever on the Premier League. So a set of precedents, but thank goodness, you know, I got through things a little bit better as we went on through career. You know, so that was my first Premier League and Football League game, Rich.
Can you remember how you were feeling from that step up from being on the Football League to going up to the Premier League? Because you've already had that feeling once by going onto the Football League, but then you've gone to the next level. Just explain that emotion.
There's loads of mixed emotions, Darren. Like, your mind wants to think that you've actually made it onto the Premier League, but then you think, hold on a bit, there are loads of other guys on here who've been on here longer than me. You know, I'm just one of 28 of us, as it was then, I think. On the Premier League, there might even have been 30, 32, I think. So you can't go in. You've got to be. My motto was, don't speak unless you're spoken to, and you literally just keep a low profile as you try and do on the pitch. So literally, I use that all the way through my career. I think, you know, that on the pitch as well. You know, you only got involved when you needed to, but when you did, it was it enhanced team performance and it made things better for everyone. The last thing you want to do is bring attention to yourself. And when you actually move up to the Premier League, there are a lot of experience on there, a lot of people who will give you advice, a lot of people who take you under their wing. And I just felt part and parcel of a really, really good, it was really feeling, you know. And it's where I wanted to be and where I wanted to start.
Yeah, I was just listening, because this is the stuff that, as a Football League assistant referee, we both got onto the list at the same season, unknowingly, as we previously discussed. But how quickly you move from Football League status to Premier League status, Andy. What do you think were your attributes that enabled that to happen?
I think, again, it was basically making sure, you know, still practice your basics, you know, to make sure that your assessments were, your assessments that you had on the Football League that actually got you into the position where you potentially get promoted to the Premier League as a linesman, as linesman as it was in those days. I still call them a linesman now, to be honest. But it is literally a case of making sure you practice your basics. You keep your fitness, you know, you basically ensure that you're whiter than white, your correspondence is correct. Because in those days, there was no emails and things like this. It was all written cards, acknowledging appointments and stuff, closing your dates by cards, etc., in the post, making sure you did them in good time. So there was lots more things in those days that took a little bit longer that you had to get yourself in the mode that you had to ensure that nothing went wrong. So it was literally making sure that you were confident in what you were doing, but not stepping over and being arrogant, because there were certainly people who would want to bring you down a peg or two if you did that. And literally wanting to be part and parcel of the team, and to make sure that you were recognised for the right things, for the right reasons, and not going out on your own and making believe that you were the best thing since sliced bread. Because I always adopted the attitude that you would learn something in every single game you went into, even if it was a case of, I wouldn't do what he's doing, you know, what the referee's doing, what the other linesman's doing. I always tried to learn something from every single day, every single game I went to. And when I was a referee coming through, I always said to my linesmen, my assistant referees, and my pre-match instructions, you know, if you can take something away from today, then I've done my job as a referee. And even if it meant that you wouldn't referee like Andy Garrett refereed, you know, or you would use that kind of trait. And if it worked for him, would it work for me?
Mate, I mean, all those things that you've just listed. I mean, people hear me say time and time again on Referees World podcast, and even when we went to the St George's Park training camp back in August, when you were part of our team as well, we talk about the basics being crucial to continuity, success, and if you don't follow those, you're going to slip up on a banana.
It's banana skin, not a banana.
Oh yeah, okay.
Oh, right. Brilliant! I love it.
It's match day. I'm nervous.
Have you been on the whiskey?
No, that's post match, not pre match.
I love stuff like that. Brilliant.
But what I was going to say was, and actually you've thrown me out of tune now. I'm out of sync. I was going to go back to Andy. Just when you talk about the basics, it's one word that covers such a bigger description. What were the basics that you followed and you would encourage others to follow?
Yeah, so the basics for me, and you know, my kids and my wife will back me up on this and probably laugh at me because they were laughing at me at the time. Just standing in a mirror in the house, just with your arm raised in the direction of a throw-in, corner kick, you know, and pointing out for a goal kick, and just basically making sure that your arm is not down towards horizontal, or it's too high up in the air. It sounds ridiculous, but constantly practicing that until you get it right, for me, was the fundamental basic lining technique. Put that into making sure you're fit and your positioning, and you know, if you're fit, then your positioning will come along, and also you'll get noticed for the right reasons, because you'll always be there and you'll be giving the correct signals in the correct manner. And I think that was probably what got me noticed more than anything.
I love that really simple bit of advice, standing in front of the mirror and looking at yourself. And it sounds, like you said, it sounds a bit odd, it sounds a bit vain.
Darren, if I could just say something, Lee Probert was actually brilliant at standing in the mirror because he carried one with him. he just stood in the mirror all the time when we're in our pre-match, and literally Simon and me, we just ripped it out of him all the time. All he did.
Yeah, well, this is coming from a chap that spends a lot of time doing his nails, doesn't it, Rich? So
apparently, yeah.
But no, I just love that, and I know, and it is such a simple bit of advice, because this is why dancers, ballet dancers, trained dancers, they train in front of the mirrors so they can see what they're doing and how they look. And it's the same way when I talk to my guys in radio about trying to improve their radio skills, listen back to yourself to improve. And I say the same to you, Rich. You know, let's listen back to the podcast to work on ways on which we can make the podcast sound better.
Yeah, absolutely. And here we are talking basics, and basics with assistant refereeing. And Andy's given us some real hot tips, good tips, typical tips. The right principles, because the only thing we haven't really mentioned here, and we mention it on a regular basis, is eye contact. Yeah. And Andy talks about flagging technique with the flag. Andy, what is the skill sets when you're there and you know you want to put the flag up? Are you there to try and beat the referee's whistle, or are you there for another reason?
I think the actual wording now, we used to be linesmen, we're now assistant referees, and I think the actual the clue is in the title. You're there to assist and not insist, you know. You're there to assist the referee, you're there to assist the team as a whole, and the way to do that is and the way I always see it is that you're a follower, not a leader. If you're a leader, you're a referee, you're a follower, so you follow the referee's lead, and to do that, you tune into what he wants you to do.
Okay, good, great piece of advice. And I knew this is where we were going to end up discussing these areas. In the last 10 years, what's the biggest significant change to teamwork and, you know, making sure that we deliver the game successfully, Andy? Is there anything that sticks out in your mind?
I think basically Lee, Simon and myself just had this motto, really, if you want, for want of a better phrase, want of a better word, that, you know, we just wanted to bring the game to a safe conclusion. And that's all you want to do. You don't want anyone speaking about you for the wrong reasons. Obviously, as time's gone on, technology's come in, you know, goal line technology has come in 2012. VAR has come in over the last 2 years, both of those are here to say. Everyone thought goal line technology wouldn't work. Obviously now it does, you know. VAR, you know, as at the moment, the sticking problems, teething problems with it. It's a work in progress. Where we're going with technology and stuff can only be for the good. It's the you just need to make sure that you adapt. And that's the other thing that you have to do as an assistant.
I think we've covered the essentials in there. And it's now moving on towards Andy's experiences that stand out for him during his career. There's games, there's moments when you were, let's say you were on the plate, Andy, and you would have been challenged mentally as well as physically, obviously. What were the mental challenges that you clearly remember experiencing?
Yeah, I think kind of what you're alluding to here, Rich, to be honest. So, yeah, I mean, there's two games that spring to mind more than anything, really. Was the FA Cup final in 2012, where we were, it was pre goal line technology, and I had the big call with an Andy Carroll header, which Petacek pushed onto the bar, and everyone thought it was over the line. It was one of the best saves I've ever seen, a la Gordon Banks in the 1970s, I think. That was a case of, you know, you can't guess on decisions like that. You've literally got to back your instincts. I was in the right position. I wasn't sure it was over the line, so you couldn't give it. And I just remember having the confirmation come down the communication kit 37 seconds later that the ball hadn't gone over the line. That 37 seconds between the fifth official on the side of the pitch and me getting that confirmation that it definitely wasn't a goal was the longest 37 seconds of my life, I think.
But also
as well, you have to keep concentration that time because, you know, you there's so much going on. You've got the eyes of the world on you. And I just remember my wife was in the crowd. My wife didn't come to many games. She always picked the ones to come to, the ones where it gave her the most hospitality at Wembley. I just remember her saying that she felt physically sick because everyone in the royal box where she was sitting knew who she was because of she was with all the ladies for the officials, and just everyone was turning around looking at her. And she said, "I felt physically sick, and I just hope she got it right because I thought I was going to get pelters thrown at me." So,
just a quick question on that decision, Andy.
Yeah.
For our listeners, when they have a key decision to make, it's all about credibility. The position is important. The observation and focus and concentration are tightly linked together. How do you park that moment and actively operate for the next 37 seconds until you get there? And I use 37 seconds because that was the time that you quoted.
Yeah.
But it's parking that decision and going on with the next decision that's coming. And your next decision could have been something as simple as a throw-in, which you could have given the wrong direction. So
absolutely, cocked up. Absolutely, yeah. And I think parking a decision is again, one of the real traits of being a top-class official. You need to park it because, as you quite rightly say, Rich, the next decision could be a simple one, that you give a corner, and it ends up should be a goal kick, and the team then score from the corner, you know. So all your hard work has been undone by a simple thing by thinking yourself, oh yeah, what a great decision that was, and then you cock the next one up. So it's easy to say, difficult to do when you're on the line, and I always say that in the nicest possible way because it's easy for people to say, oh yeah, you can stand there, you can park the decision and not worry about it. You do worry about it, but you haven't got time. You haven't got, if you're at top of your ability, at top of your game, you haven't got time to actually do that. And you can't do that because you're letting your colleagues down. You sacrifice personal glory for the benefit of the team, and that's what you need to do. And I think that's where parking decisions comes in.
Can I just jump in here and throw a curveball? Yeah.
A decision like the one that we've just talked about in the FA Cup final, you were correct and you were positive that you were correct as well, and it was proven to be a correct decision. However, somebody who probably hasn't got the same level of mental strength as you could have been seriously affected by this mentally after the game, had it been a wrong decision that they had given. Do the authorities, does the FA, do the Premier League, do they offer a counselling service for officials that suffer from making a wrong decision in a game such as that?
Darren, yeah, I mean, yes. In days gone by, there probably wasn't, in all honesty. You were very much on your own. In the latter years, PGMOL have got employed psychologists working with you. So you can talk to them pre-match, post-match. You've got coaches who are there for you, you know. And I mentioned VAR a few minutes ago, and VAR nowadays will stop this happening purely and simply because you know if you're right or wrong straight away. Whereas before, you always had to, you didn't know until you got home and really watch it on match the day or analyse it the next day if it was a midweek game or something. So you were constantly... You're constantly thinking about things and wondering if you got them right or not. Nowadays, you have that support bubble and support mechanism in place, and I think that will filter down as time goes on to the lower levels. And certainly, I think you know the people, the level, you know, the level lower levels referees and assistants certainly probably won't have the scale that the Premier League people have, but they will have people they can turn to and talk to, and those people will know other people who can offer advice. So my advice on something like this is that if you do make mistakes, and we all will make them, Darren, we all make them, there's no doubt about it. And I've made a few rickets in my life as well, that you have that support mechanism in place should you need it.
We've just had a little message pop up to say that Zoom time is running low, which basically means we're under 40 minutes, but we're well over our 20, which is not a problem. So we need to sort of start thinking about some final questions. Rich, okay. One from you.
The second item, second incident you were going to talk about, Andy, when I led you into the cup final.
Yeah. The other one that most people remember me for probably is the day that Man City won the league in 2012.
Man City QPR.
Oh, you were there for that one. Oh, what a game!
I was the main person in that. I think it ended up. Most people said it was the Andy Garrett show. I didn't like to see it like that because it was the Andy Garrett Mike Dean Stuart Burt show, to be honest. So, but we. I was there. I had the best seat in the house when Aguero scored the goal, I was kind of.
You could probably even hear the commentary as well, the way that Tyler went on.
It goes in my mind all the time because my son constantly plays it. To be honest,
it's a good ringtone to have as well.
Yeah, but also as well, I was heavily involved in the Joey Barton incident, which went on that game as well. So for those people who are interested. I think there's an 8-minute 34-second YouTube thing called City 12 or something, which you can watch, which highlights everything on there. So rather than me bore you with it, you can watch it on YouTube. There you go.
What a game.
Thanks,
what
Andy,
an
yeah.
amazing game yeah, to be a part amazing. Of as well. I mean, that was just one of the...
To be honest, Darren, that was the best week of my football life, because the previous week I did the FA Cup final and then the next week I was on the Man City game. So you can't get any better than that, to be honest.
Oh, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah. Nah. What was the... We are really running shortly now, so we'll have to keep this one quickly. The week after that particular two games, what was that like for you?
To be honest, I went on holiday for 2 weeks. We got a holiday.
Need it.
And we went on holiday at the middle of May till the end of May, just chilled out, to be honest with you. And that's the God's honest truth. That's what I did.
Right, listen, we're going to have to stop it there before we all suddenly disappear off this particular Zoom call. Andy, it's been an absolute pleasure, and no doubt that you're going to be joining us again at some time soon so we can continue asking some of these questions that a lot of people want to hear about. It's not all about the technical stuff and learning stuff on Referees World Podcast. We like to know the ins and outs, the real casual stuff, like what you've just told us there. Isn't that right, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew... the background of the cup final, and I knew the little bit about Man City the week after. But until you actually open it up and you get a visual in there, you don't realise all the pressures that are in there, because we never talked about dealing with the pressures. But that'll be a conversation next time.
Oh, absolutely.
And because what I think we could do is we probably could get Lee and Andy here talking to us about dealing with those pressures, establishing teamwork, making big decisions, key decisions, keeping the flag down, not giving a free kick, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of material there that can be discussed that our listeners can learn from.
If you are a new listener to the Referees World podcast, you will learn stuff. You will learn stuff. You won't learn anything from me, but you'll learn it from Rich and Rich's long list of distinguished friends. So, Andy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being there and taking time out to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Andy, you're a gem. Thanks, mate. That's really brilliant.
Thanks, pal. Cheers. All the best. Thanks.
Our guest, Andy Garrett. And that's it for two episodes that we've done with Andy on the Referees World podcast. Don't forget, you can listen online at the website, refereesworld.co.uk. And don't forget, if you've got any refereeing colleagues that are new to the game that want to learn a few tips, then chuck them our way and we'll do our bit. And if you want to get in touch with us as well, as indeed quite a few people are doing so. So in the next episode, Rich, maybe we should do a little bit of a catch-up on people that have been in touch with us.
Yes, we have. There's Macaulay. I know he's been in touch, hasn't he?
Hello, Macaulay.
And there's a couple other lads off the top of my head. Yeah. I can't remember the first names, but we will catch up with them and we'll give them a shout-out.
And if you do want to contact us, you can do through the website. You can go to refereesworld.co.uk and email us that way and we will get back to you. But in the meantime, thank you very much for listening and we'll see you next time.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.